My name is Percy. My name is also Tom Toyun. I am a Hong Konger American, second generation. I identify as non-binary, specifically as a demigirl, which means the Venn diagram of although there is a lot of overlap. I am AFAB. I grew up as a girl. And outside of just existing as a human, I suppose, I work as a freelancer in this capitalistic society. I do anything that I can to scrape up change to survive. And I do, in my free time, I have about a dozen hobbies to feed my ADHD.
Yep.
I do armored combat, roller skating, weaving, sewing. Yeah. I'm with a medieval historical reenactment organization that does a lot of different things.
All right. So I'm interviewing the coolest person alive. All right, calm down.
I try.
That's awesome. So could you kind of start by giving me what, like, when I say girlhood, what does that mean to you?
To me, girlhood is the period kind of before I kind of explored expansive ideas of gender, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Because my gender identity is as a demigirl, so I'm still kind of in that space, but identifying exclusively as female, which for me is girlhood, is kind of tied to my childhood, and I've kind of like aged out of that in a way. But again, this is very specific to me, and I do not expect other people's gender journeys to be like this at all.
So because we're talking about experiences of queerness and girlhood specifically. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, kind of growing up, ideas of femininity and masculinity, what did that look like? You know, who were the people in your lives who embodied femininity or masculinity, whatever that means? And kind of what did that mean to you?
Well, I grew up in a nuclear household with a mom and a dad. That being said, my mom was a massive tomboy, and anything feminine was kind of, like, looked down on. Mm-hmm. She was very, like, I'm not like the other girls. She did judo and gymnastics, she had longer hair when I was younger, but she never taught me anything about cosmetics, about skincare, about how to do my hair. I never picked up any of like that stereotypically traditionally feminine stuff from my mom. So I don't know. There's just, I guess, like a kind of imbalance in my life. I didn't have super feminine role models like that. As for masculinity, well, my dad was around, still is around, unfortunately. Kind of a terrible person.
It'll get you.
Yeah. I mean, both of my parents are terrible people, but my dad really takes the fucking cake. Yeah, I mean, he's a man. He doesn't cry. He's kind of a piece of shit. He's the breadwinner.
Yeah.
So
being second generation is always its own adventure.
Yep.
Was there a difference in what girlhood entailed kind of like at home in that culture versus kind of American culture at large?
Yeah, there's this thing, and I'm not saying necessarily that I was personally subject to this as much, but there's this thing in Asian cultures at large called eldest sister syndrome, where the eldest daughter is expected to be like a second mom, essentially, and take on a lot of responsibility with household tasks and like. I never really got that treatment because I guess my parents are a little bit more progressive in that department. Like I said, my mom was a bit of a tomboy, and so some of the expectations of a daughter, especially an eldest daughter, were not as heavily foisted upon me. Also, we were relatively well-to-do, so we had a hired domestic helper to help us with household stuff. That being said, compared to if I had been born a male child, I was definitely coddled less. Don't remember the original question.
Yeah, no, you're good.
But yeah, sons are definitely given preferential treatment in a lot of ways. They're given a lot of slack. They're allowed to do whatever they want compared to girls. I didn't really get that.
You do a lot of really cool crafts, and I know that you mentioned that coming from your ADHD, but gender and craft is really interesting.
Yes.
I was wondering kind of how you came to those crafts and what it means to interact with them in a unique way, in a way a little bit outside of girlhood.
Well, kind of going back to your last question about the differences between American childhood and, or white American childhood, I suppose, and Hong Kong or American childhood, my dad didn't teach me how to do any woodshop shit, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that education at all, at home or at school, because this is the, well, but that was the 2000s to 2010s. All of those programs had been unceremoniously gutted from the public education system.
Mm-hmm.
And so that type of thing just wasn't really accessible to me. Whereas fiber arts, everybody can go out and get a needle and some thread and just start, right? Not so much with like learning how to use a machine necessarily, but mm-hmm. like anyone can embroider, anyone can cross stitch, as long as you have the ability to. The materials are very cheap. And so I taught myself how to do that from a very young age. And I just kind of stuck with fiber arts and continued developing my craft. And I'm only continuing to develop my craft into other mediums of fiber arts. Like I'm doing tapestry weaving. I'm going to be doing inkle weaving as well. The difference between that is tapestry is like your simple up and down warp weft plaid, and inkle weaving, you weave belts, right? It's like a Scandinavian art form. Sorry, what was the question again?
Yeah, we were talking about
gender. Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess I kind of fell into a stereotypically, traditionally, in some ways, feminine associated art, because that was what was accessible to me, and I just stuck with it. That's not to say that I'm not necessarily pursuing interests in the artistic field that are more stereotypically masculine. I am hoping to learn some forms of carpentry and like CAD design and like engineering adjacent things as well. And of course I partake in martial arts, which are very traditionally masculine for the most part. Yeah, I don't really see there are definitely barriers to it, but I don't think they should hold me back.
Let's see. When you signed up or when you reached out to do this interview, was there anything you wanted to talk about where you were like, I want to do this because this is the story I have to tell?
I suppose not really. It just seemed like an interesting project. But now that I'm thinking about it, my number one story, I suppose, that relates most to the topic of queerness and girlhood is the first girl that I ever had a crush on in middle school. I am bisexual. Mm-hmm. Forgot to say that at the beginning, but I can count on one hand the number of women or girls that I've had interest, romantic interest in my lifetime. Back then she went by Jennifer, was one of them. I went to middle school with her. I had originally gone to elementary school with her. I switched schools around a lot. I was in the same school system from kindergarten to fourth grade, and again in seventh and eighth grade. And we were classmates in third grade, and then I saw her again in seventh grade and eighth grade. And I just started, like, following her around. She never liked me back, not in that way, but she was, like, my first crush in a way.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, do you remember anything about kind of how that crush manifested, or like, what did you feel about it in the moment? Like, was that something that felt okay? Did you know it was a crush? Did it just feel like a really big friendship?
No, I definitely knew I was into her, and I came out as bisexual in seventh grade very dramatically in bio class because I'm a dramatic little shit.
Incredible.
This was like 2012-ish, so being gay was something that was more talked about, especially on the corners of the internet that I hung around.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't necessarily a stranger to any of it, even if I never encountered it in my day-to-day real life.
Yeah, you said you came out very dramatically in bio class. What's the story of that?
Yeah, I stood up in the middle of bio class and I said, "I can't take it anymore. I'm bi." And then I sat back down. Which is certainly a coming out story, right?
Certainly a coming out story. How did that go for you? It's middle school, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get bullied for being gay. I got bullied for being autistic.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Yep. Usually I make that joke about being Asian. This was bio, so my bio teacher went and talked to my parents, which, looking back, was maybe not the best decision, Ms. Nita, but she had my best interests at heart. My parents are, like, moderately homophobic. We just never talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it like trying to find a queer community at that age? Or did you find one at all? And that includes, like, the internet and stuff. That's real.
I don't know about, like, community, per se. I fell in with a group of, when was this? Middle school. Yeah, I didn't really have much of a community. I kind of, like, hung out on the fringes of, like, pages and blogs and things, like, people putting out information online, but I never really was in groups. Mm-hmm. Or, like, Discord servers, or, like, you know, like, I was never really in any of those for a really long time. And I only started, like, joining groups, in, like, later high school, after high school. But I hung out on the fringes of, I guess you could call them communities, but, It's just on the fringes of creators more than communities, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just hanging around and absorbing creators' works and not really engaging with anyone, starting in middle school.
Yeah, I get it. I was a lurker, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So thinking about being a demigirl, mm-hmm. and kind of coming to that, I wonder, like, how much of that journey are you willing to share?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, totally. So thinking about, you know, coming out as non-binary and heading towards being a demigirl, kind of what was that journey like?
I don't know. It just all never really, like, sat right with me, the way that people kind of referred to me in a feminine way as kind of like a, I don't know if diminutive is the right word, but like calling me a girl, calling me miss, calling me a lady, kind of just felt like an insult in a way. I don't really know how else to phrase this.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were thinking of me as less than because I was female, and that always really rubbed me the wrong way. And so I started insisting on people on calling me with gender neutral terms, using they them pronouns. And I know there's nothing inherently like negative about being female, about being feminine, but that's how it felt to me, especially in these contexts from these people. And so one day I was just like, okay, I reject these labels. You can respect my non-binary pronouns or you can get the fuck out.
Yeah, totally. I'm curious about the choice of the label demigirl. Kind of where does that mm-hmm. come from? Where's that choice to remain affiliated almost would be my choice of words there. Where does that come from?
I still present very femininely and engage in a lot of feminine things like dressing very like high femme. And I do feel tied to certain aspects of femininity, not necessarily in a girlish way per se, but the aspects of femininity that I feel more closely tied to are like the, I guess, like Black Widow, Jessica Rabbit type archetype yeah. of like very high femme, canon will kill you. So I do still feel tied to those aspects, but not all of them, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm just curious if you can give any examples of things that come with girlhood that you don't feel connected to. Like, if you can... Sorry, words are hard. Kind of finding that spot of
disconnect.
Yeah.
I mean, going back again to the differences between a typical white American childhood and my childhood, I didn't get to do those girly things, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have a mom that showed me girly things like dressing a certain way or dressing fashionably, I suppose. My parents do not have good taste. Doing my hair, like I had to beg for my hair to be put in braids and my mom could barely do it. And makeup, that's not something that my parents showed me at all. I had to discover that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the traditionally feminine fiber arts that I did, I discovered all of that on my own too. My mom never taught me how to sew. Or she did like once maybe, but I really had to teach myself how to do that. To cook, I was taught to cook kind of, sort of, by my mom. Again, I had to kind of mostly teach that myself as well, through YouTube and stuff. So.
Yeah, totally. I want to go back to your first crush. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of first crushes. mm-hmm. As a fellow, like, 2000s era baby.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Oh, okay. I'm 23. We're right around the same age.
So I have a very similar context of girlhood in yep. terms of the time. And so I'm really interested in, like, just whatever you want to share about that.
Her name was Jennifer. She started going by Jay. I think she still says. I haven't talked to her in many years. And I doubt she would be interested in talking to me.
Yeah.
It was middle school. We were both incredibly awkward. She seemed more confident in things than I was. She was definitely kind of a ringleader in the group. She would throw parties in her massive mansion. She had real bad daddy issues because he was literally never around. He was like a businessman. So it wasn't like he was like gone for no reason, like abandoned, but he was definitely neglectful because of capitalism. Her mom was, I think, addicted to internet mahjong. She had an older brother who was, I think, in college. And I just started hanging out with her a lot and her group of friends, and I just kind of followed her around annoyingly for 2 years.
You say followed her around. Like, what did, when you hung out with her friends or hung out as a group, like, what were y'all up to?
We would, like, play card games at lunch. We would, they would play basketball, which I almost never did because I, had always been bad at PE, and because I have asthma, and I was kind of, like, self-conscious about my being bad at sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guess that's really mostly what we would do. We'd go see movies as a group sometimes. And we would go to parties at Jennifer's house.
Yeah, those moments are kind of where my interest lies. Where there's no adults around and it's just girls and kind of, you know, where there's always like, they're always like, oh, like when girls play their dolls, here's how they're gonna play it. And then when you play dolls, you're like, you're getting beheaded. Welcome to, like, you know, crazy land.
I never played with dolls. I only wanted them because everyone else wanted them.
Fair enough.
And then I would just, like, leave them in the box and leave them on the shelf because they were too nice. Mm. No, I was always, like, a creative type of kid. I always liked to make things. I always liked to draw and to sculpt and to create, not so much to play pretend.
Yeah. What kind of stuff were you creating?
I don't know. I'm autistic. So when I was little and when I was bigger as well, I would just repeatedly write the alphabet I would write like alphabet samplers in all of my notebooks over and over and over again. I won a penmanship award in preschool and it went to my head, and I've been obsessed with having perfect handwriting for the last 20 years.
I love thinking back on my girlhood, because everyone I was friends with is now queer and autistic.
Yep.
I don't know if you had that experience.
No, because I switched around places so much that I don't have friends going that far back. Anyone that I know from that long ago, for the most part, it's been with massive interruptions in our relationship, and we are not that close.
Got it.
Like, there is one girl, Mariel. We met in second grade. We were in the same friend group. And then I left after fourth grade and came back in middle school, and we weren't that close either. And then we ended up going to the same county high school, and we weren't that close either. We just kind of had our lives at parallel for a really long time.
So it sounds like school was not necessarily a great place to kind of find friends, just because you were moving around so much. I'm wondering if there were any other, besides school, any locations that were really important to your girlhood.
Well, I moved around schools not because we were moving house. I moved around schools because I had social issues.
Oh, okay.
I was living under the same roof the whole time. I was a Girl Scout for 13 years, from kindergarten to 12th grade. And I shifted from troop to troop, and not all of those troops. So one of the scouts, I don't know how familiar you are with this.
I'm a lifetime Girl Scout.
Yeah. So you know what a rainbow troop is. Yes. A rainbow troop is a troop with different levels of girls. And one of the troop that I ended up in at the end for several years, was a rainbow troop. And so I didn't have, I joined right on the tail end of a big group of girls who were like 1 or 2 years older than me, who had all been at the same level and all aged out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I joined right as they were leaving. And so everyone else was like significantly younger than me. And so I didn't really have any peers there. But I suppose it was a way to socialize with other girls in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever go to like camps or anything?
Yeah, I think we went camping with them once, maybe twice. Or maybe that was with another troop. I don't remember. It all kind of blurs together. Yeah. I did have a friend, and I should probably reach out to her sometime, Celeste, in Scouts. And our parents were both from Hong Kong, from Guangdong San. And so we ended up friends. Did we do our Silver Award together? No, that was with Amanda. But we ended up being friends through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm thinking about isolation. Mm-hmm. And like as a neurodivergent person, kind of navigating that, especially in youth. And kind of how that comes into to kind of the what is considered like group experiences of girlhood, of kind of like those close female friendships that people tend to associate with girlhood. Kind of what was that like for you? Did you have those? Did you not? If not, kind of what did that feel like for you?
I had them on and off, but I had a curse where everyone I loved would leave. Not even like in a, we would have a big dramatic friendship breakup kind of way, in a like their parents would just pack up and move out of state leave. Like there was a girl who lived, we moved into, so I was born in Monterey Park, and we moved once across Monterey Park when I was really little, and then the second time was when I was three or four, my mom was pregnant with my sister, and we moved to a house in San Gabriel, which was in the bounds of the San Marino School District, which is how I ended up there. And my parents still live there to this day. We moved in there. I was like 3 or 4. There was a girl who lived right next door, and we became really, really good friends. And then our parents decided to move to Texas. So goodbye to that forever. I've thought about trying to reach out to her over the years. I should probably try and do that. And then in middle school, or in elementary school, I had trouble making friends. I was bullied. There was a girl named Emily. I don't remember her last name, but she spelled it E-M-I-L-I-E, I think. And maybe it was E-M-I-L-Y. I don't remember. But she was very nice to me, and we were friends. And then she moved away. Same thing with Grace. Grace, I am still in touch with on social media and the like. She was super nice to me. We were really close. And then I think our family moved to Anaheim.
Mm.
Or maybe it was Diamond Bar. I don't remember, but she moved away too, and then I left the district, and so it's kind of hard to hold on to those bonds when the only people who will be nice to you keep leaving.
Yeah. I'm wondering when you had access to them, kind of, you know, what were you up to? What did you guys do for fun? If you gossiped, what did you gossip about, you know?
I don't remember gossiping, honestly.
Fair. I guess maybe a better question probably definitely happened,
but I just, my memories are completely blank on that one.
Well, the gossip isn't important anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I remember going to church with Grace. My family's not religious. They're just kind of apathetic about it. Nowadays, I am very put my foot down, do not talk to me about religion, as not agnostic. Grace's family is Christian, Chinese Christian, so probably evangelical Baptist of some kind, which nowadays I have many issues with, but as a child I didn't know any better. I would go to church with her because her family was very Christian. Her siblings' names are Krista and Samuel, so
yep.
Krista, Samuel, and Grace, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to church with her, we would go hang out at her house, probably watch movies at some point. I remember, like, a memory that sticks out to me. It wasn't even, like, a pivotal moment or anything like that. It was, like, we were looking at one of those, like, oil and water, like, resistance toys with the drops, and she was telling me how each little drop was, like, an egg for a creature. And I was so frustrated because I couldn't, like, see it, and I couldn't tell if she was, like, imagining or what, because I'm autistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember very much about the girl who lived next door. I don't even remember her name. Or, Emily, because it was so early. The only thing I remember about Emily is that we were in the Previa. My parents drove a champagne gold Toyota Previa. And we were there, and we were, like, in the parking lot of Lily's Garden Preschool, which is a place that I still drive by. I don't know why we were there, or, like, what we were on the way to or from, but that's all I remember, that we were there, and we might have taken a picture in the car.
Yeah. I love those little memories. It doesn't have to be pivotal. I love it.
Yeah. I also have serious memory issues, which does not help.
Yeah. So, right now, we're reflecting on girlhood. Kind of, what does it feel like to return to those moments? What does it feel like to, what does it feel like to return to those moments?
I feel like I should be reaching out to these people. Mm. Like, it's been a long time since I've thought about them. And, as like a form of healing, I suppose, because my childhood was very traumatic, I think I want to, not necessarily, like, relive those moments of girlhood, but kind of, like, re-experience spending time with these people.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah.
Yeah. What does re-experiencing girlhood mean to you? Like, if you could build yourself a girlhood experience for yourself to go through right now.
Like a positive girlhood experience?
Yeah. Like, if you were making a theme park for yourself to go experience girlhood again, what would that look like?
My childhood was so heavily influenced by trying to avoid abuse, and, like, everything I did for enjoyment or otherwise was to try to avoid the source of the abuse, and mm-hmm. So I would spend a lot of time in the library. I suppose I would go back there and reacquaint myself with the books. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked out a book from the library in a very long time. Probably pick up a cross-stitch kit and go back to doing that, as opposed to, like, freehand embroidery, which is more what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just pick up, like, a simple little craft kit and try to make something that I think Child Percy would have liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to a Chinese New Year festival. go to the carnival that my elementary school still holds for fundraising. Go back to Hong Kong again, because I spent a chunk of my childhood going back and forth every summer. It's very nostalgically tied to my childhood. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you're like, oh my gosh, if I do not say this, if I do not tell this story, I'm going to be so mad at myself later?
About girlhood?
Or queerness.
Or queerness. Well, word of advice to any bisexual seventh graders who might be listening to this. Don't stand up in the middle of biology class and tell everyone you're bisexual. It might not necessarily go badly with a capital B, but it's probably just not a good idea.
Good advice.
I think that's about it.
That's it? Awesome.